everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. In the studio with me today, Ben and Julian. Here we are again, getting to work.
Yes, we are.
All right. Now listen, we were picking up on a program that we heard yesterday, or I heard on Sunday. There was this issue that was brought up by Joel Osteen, where I heard him do a program about honoring. It was called Honoring People. And the basic idea of this program was that he said it is important to be able to say something good about people. That's what he called honoring, either saying it directly to them or saying it to other people about them. And the opposite of that is never speaking badly about them. Well, I kind of took this concept and we ran with it a little bit. And we got some callers, which you could be calling in as well, 212-957-2729. And we were going to work with this a little further. We started off with that. We started off with that.
Just the concept of honor and how in little ways we can show others through our actions and our words that they matter to us, making people feel special and making people feel appreciated. And when we got towards the end of the program, we were talking about the notion of talking good behind someone's back versus the sort of classic gossip example of talking badly behind someone's back.
Try to imagine, my friends, try to imagine a group of people speaking good about somebody who's not there. What would that be like? If it weren't a cult, what would it be like?
I think it'd be a very positive thing.
Imagine. Oh, yeah, he's a wonderful guy. Yes, he's a wonderful guy. Yes, he's a wonderful guy. Yes, he's a wonderful guy. Yes. You know, I know he's generous. He does this. He does. You just generally don't hear people doing that. For some people, for some reason or other, people get more mileage out of talking badly about someone, meaning mentioning their shortcomings or mentioning what's wrong with them.
I think that by doing that, sometimes people can feel like they are elevating themselves by bringing someone else to a lower position. And so maybe the reason you don't hear the inverse is that by making someone look too good, maybe we don't feel like we look as good in comparison.
So if you could see somebody wearing a short skirt and you could criticize them for wearing the short skirt, you could say, look at him. And you could say any number of things that would criticize the person and would criticize them because you weren't feeling as good in your own short skirt.
Right.
Okay, that's one. So one would say that maybe there's some instinctive drive that helps you survive. If you're going to be critical about something, you're going to be able to spot the weaknesses. And by sharing the weaknesses of the other person, it empowers you in some way.
Sure.
It kind of reminds me of a bunch of like little fish in the ocean looking for the wound on a shark. You know, they're looking for his little spot we could go after.
Definitely. And I think it's a great metaphor because you're talking about little fish looking at this bigger fish. And in general, from my experience, the bigger the person, the more powerful the person, the more satisfying it is for people to bring them down, to verbally tear them down. And we see that. I mean, there's a whole industry devoted to gossiping about celebrities. You know, there's magazines, television shows that are all about, you know, dishing the latest dirt on, you know, this actress or that singer or this politician.
And gossip, the very word gossip comes from, where did we learn it came from?
It came from Old English. It's a combination of two words, I think.
Which had something to do with godfathering or something like that.
Right.
You know, but it's always perceived as a negative. So there is no such thing as positive gossip. But it's strange.
Well, the very word gossip does carry a negative connotation. So in essence, when we say gossip, it's almost, yeah, you're right, it's almost impossible for it to be positive, but maybe, you know, could we imagine a positive gossip? I mean, what would that entail?
Imagine a group of people sitting around talking about WBAI, the radio station, and they were saying, let's say, good things about the radio station, right? And everybody, or let's say they were talking about The Positive Mind, the radio program, and a group of people were talking about it. Almost everyone would do it, except there would always be one or two people that want to be different. They want to set themselves aside. They want to feel a little beyond it. Because they believe if everybody is complimenting any one thing, it creates a family. And they don't want to be just another person in the family. They want to be special. So they're going to be antagonistic.
They want to stand out.
They want to stand out. So you find that often with negativism in people. You know, it's a way of just standing out.
So then why is it, though, that if there's a group of people speaking negatively and gossiping that, you know, you don't more often hear the standout person in the group coming to said person's defense? You see what I mean?
Sure.
Because I agree with what you say. If there were people speaking positively, there's always going to be one or two people who want to have a dissenting opinion and sort of be the negative one. But why don't we see the opposite as much when people speak negatively?
Imagine a group of hyenas eating a carcass, right? And somebody comes along and says, "Oh, I knew that carcass, right? Let me take them out to say hello." Well, you know, the other group is going to be angry because they're feeding.
Right.
They're feeding. They know, oh, don't do this now because we're in the middle of our frenzy.
It's an incredible image. It makes sense, though. I see it.
So speaking badly about your mates, speaking badly about other people that you know, this is what we want to change. Now, this means that we're exploring the issue of where we could make a difference in life, and where we could all make a difference is to say something well about someone. And what I found interesting about the program, although again, this is not, I'm not saying that I think Joel Osteen is doing a complete job there, because I see him missing in quite a few spots, especially his jokes. His jokes seem to tear down everything he believes in, you know. But beyond that, he had a message in there, and the message in there is that we must in somehow honor each other, honor people that don't get honored, and that will come back to us manyfold. And it's just amazing how few people do it.
And how little it actually takes to do it. I mean, how simple it can be to make someone feel appreciated just by calling them. Pick up the phone and say, "Hey, you know, I'm thinking about you. Hope you're doing well." That really doesn't take very much energy.
You know, it's also interesting, Ben, when you do something specific when you call them. I was thinking about the way you like to play bocce ball, right? And I was thinking about bocce ball and playing bocce ball with you, and it really reminded me. And I remember the time we did it. I was just thinking about it. Not that we should get together and do it again, but I love the way you do it. I like the way you think. I like the way you breathe. I like the way you talk. I like the way you read that poem. A specific thing about a person that you could say, "I love your creativity, I love the way you dress, I like," you know, something that you could say very specific in recognition of a person.
Sure. I mean, it starts small. I mean, when I think about this, and then the notion of making someone feel good, I think about what is the smallest unit of this action that I can take, in a way. So first, I try to think, what's just something that I like about this person? And it could be very simple. Like you said, the way they think or the way they speak. And what is it about, you know, what are the qualities about them that I admire? And I think when you put yourself in that sort of mind frame of compassion and framing it that way, it makes it easier to reach out to them, you know, in a human way and make that connection.
So it should be an effort today. I wonder how many of you out there could join us in this, in trying to see if there's one person, one place, that you could put out one piece of positive energy. Positive meaning you're going to say something to the other person. Now, Ben, you use a phrase to make them feel better. Not even to make them feel better, but to make yourself feel better because you did something white. You did something, oh, God, I'm going to get letters about that. You did something nice. Right? You did something nice. You did something pleasant. You did something that enhanced in some way, reminding somebody of something that you like, complimenting somebody, or not even complimenting them to someone else, saying something nice about them. Speaking badly about people becomes something that people get used to as long as you're within a certain organization. But, you know, there are certain organizations that kind of hold very tight.
What do you mean by organizations?
Well, think about the mafia. You know, Omerta.
Code of silence.
A code of silence. Which basically means if you have something bad to say, you can say it within the family, but you can't say it outside the family.
Right.
Now, the rule of that is you absolutely avoid interfering in the business of somebody else. That's rule number one. Prohibition of cooperation with any state authorities or reliance on its services, even if it means for medical help. You just like you're saying, I reject the outside. We're all going to do this at home. You know, what's the Pennsylvania?
We're going to handle our business in-house.
In-house, right. So Christian Scientists, right?
Yeah.
Right, so we're going to do it. We're going to do it in here. We're going to be this way. The Mormon, in general.
Yeah, I mean, any kind of tight-knit religious organization or cult, I think, would handle it like that.
And the belief is that if you go outside, you've committed a crime because you've agreed to the rules of staying within the family.
Right, and then it creates this sort of definition of insiders and outsiders, and it draws very clear lines, who is a part and who is not. And then it creates a sort of insular kind of us versus them mentality, us against the world in a way.
So where do you stand with the world, my friends? Where do you stand in your relationship to people at 212-957-2729? 212-957-2729. Where do you stand in your being able to share some good words about someone, even now? I mean, even if I could tell you the number of letters we receive positively about this program and about WBAI, it's remarkable. It's remarkable. And those words are kept, you know, in emails and in text messages, but rarely said, almost like you can't say it on the air. You can't say it to each other. You know, so we're going to be exploring this with
and
you
today.
And
it's always great to get feedback from listeners, whether it's an email or a phone call. We're also on Twitter now. Armand has a Twitter, and it's at Armand DeMille, and you can always send in your thoughts on the program or in general. That's at Armand DeMille, D-I-M-E-L-E.
Okay, we have Catherine on the line. Hi, Catherine. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi. I wanted to tell you my grandmother trained me well in this. She had a game called Trade Last when she would tell me someone else had said something nice about me. Before she would tell it to me, I would have to tell her something nice about her. And it's called a trade last. And also on Thanksgiving, I visited a shut-in, and she was complaining about people so much I got a headache. So I think I'm well with you on the positive talk, and I thank you for your show.
Oh, wait a minute. How did your grandmother teach you to do this? Teach me it again. What did she teach you to do?
Well, we're from Chicago, and it's called a trade last. And she'd say, Catherine, I have a trade last for you.
What's the last word? Trade. What's the last word? Trade last?
Yeah, L-A-S-T. She would tell me my compliment she heard about me, but she would tell me last.
Give me an example.
I would have to go first and tell her something.
Oh, I see. So give me an example of that, would you, Catherine?
Sure. I would say, my mother told me that your gravy is the best Thanksgiving gravy, and then she would say, oh, I saw Mrs. Bray downtown, and she told me that you had such good manners the other day.
Wow. And that worked.
Well, I think that it really did, because people tell me that they enjoy being with me, that I have a positive attitude, and I'm grateful for that.
So if I trade lasted you right now, right?
Yes.
I have something good to say about you that I heard from someone else. But I didn't hear anything from someone else. What if I just had something good to say about you?
Well, that's so tricky. I might, yeah, I don't really understand it, but I did hear about trade last on a public radio show called Way with Words, and other people in the world do trade last, but it's mm-hmm. bizarre to me because I only thought Grandma and I did it.
Well, how would you do it with WBAI Radio with the positive mind?
Well, my daughter and I were in the car, and she was saying, that she's glad I listened to your radio show, so I might be able to say something like that.
So your daughter said that she was glad you were able to listen to the radio program, right?
Right. She loves your the whole radio station.
And Julian was just nodding to me as he was listening to your voice about your voice. He said you sounded great.
Aw, well, God bless you, and thank you very much.
You've got a good energy, and you sound real. Thank you very much for calling in.
You're welcome. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Trade last, huh? Huh, Ben? Nice. Nice teaching from a grandma. 212-957-2729. So it seems that people do have experience with it.
It's definitely an interesting concept. I'd never heard of it, but it's really exactly in line with what we're talking about. It's great that that was our first call to hear about that.
I'll tell you something that somebody said good about you, but I'm not going to tell you until you tell me something that you heard good about me.
Okay.
Well, all right, let's do it.
You want to start?
Yeah.
I'll start or you start?
Well, I said it. I'll start.
Okay.
That means you go first.
Oh, that means I go first. Well, Julian and I were walking down the street the other day, and Julian said, you know, it's amazing how perceptive Armand is, just how he's able to sort of read people. Now, this is something that we've both said to each other in the past, but he happened to tell me the other day, and I agree.
Julian told me, that you got along really well with those neighbors of mine, and he said they really liked you a lot.
Okay.
I like how I'm always involved in these trade labs.
So far we got you. You're the third in our family. Good. 212-279. This is Jay is on the line. Hi there, Jay. It's Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand. Thanks for picking up my call. You know, I listen to your show as often as I can. I always enjoy it a great deal. It's very insightful. Just to throw that out first. And I wanted to make one point, listening to, you know, the opinion on, you know, voices that are, you know, considered dissenting, you know, voices, you know, people who sort of almost pathologically wish to present a side on an issue just because it doesn't go against, you know, just because it goes against the mainstream. And I wondered that just as often as we have people who create that offense, who will be, you know, the odd man out just because they want to be noticed or because that, you know, that being the dissenting voice is the unique voice. I think on the other side is that we fall prey so much in this life with groupthink, that is people who are happy to go along with, you know, whatever the popular, you know, thought is just because, you know, we feel good to be part of that group.
Mm-hmm. Good thinking.
And I wondered, is it necessary to equate, you know, an opinionated voice with one that is an unhappy voice? In other words, can you be critical and can you stand away from the groupthink, which is so popular, and still possess a positive voice?
Well, I know you know the answer to this, Jay.
Yeah, I do know the answer.
You do know, so tell me the answer to it.
Well, the answer is, I think, you know, I tend to be that voice in a group, you know. You know, through my life, I can remember instance after instance where I get looks at a table. You have to destroy what we were all feeling. Why did you come in, you know, with that voice? I am that voice. So, yes, I do know the answer. And that voice isn't always the result of feeling, you know, negative or because I need to stand out. But it's more often because I think sometimes groups need to be it because they're taking too much comfort in feeling the easiness of everybody feeling the same way. And there's no end to abuses to how that works, right? I mean, you know, everything from the religious group you belong to the political group you belong to. I mean, you know, what could be more necessary?
Well, you know, the only problem, Jay, is sometimes it's like a warm fart in a cold breeze.
Good.
You know what I mean? I mean, you're sitting around with a group of people, and they're having this nice, wonderful time, and they're having this, you know, going on this positive string. Now, you want to bring that in, but it's timing. It's all about timing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like all of a sudden they look at you and they, oh, what does that smell?
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's just about timing, because I know you know the answer to it. I know that you're not a negative guy.
No,
I know that
not.
you want to present an oppositional position, you know, or a position that may not agree with them, but it's about timing, how you do it. And first of all, acknowledging what people are doing first is important. Hey, yes, I see that point of view. And if you take the word but out of your vocabulary, but mm-hmm. is usually meant to cancel whatever it was that was being said. But instead you put the word and, it helps you introduce a subject that may be antagonistic on some level, but not perceived as negative.
Yeah. I mean, that starts to turn to the aspect of, a well-mannered...
But do you ever feel like you're falling asleep when you hear a group of people talking all about the same thing in the same positive way, and you just feel like you're getting a little dreary, and you just...
Yeah.
You know, and that's probably what comes behind it. You get restless, you get bored, and that's why you decide
to
jump in.
I think I tend to rather be enamored of folks who, have an opinion, another voice. Even if they're a little off, I'm much more comforted by hearing the one opinion that I hadn't thought of. You know, I might take that opinion and not agree with it, but I'd say to myself, it's sort of refreshing that you stood up and made an opinion that belongs to yours and not the group.
Sure, sure. An opinion could be a flag that somebody's waving rather than a grenade being thrown in the middle of a bunch.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'll leave and let someone else talk, but I remember sitting at a dinner table last year with about 12 people, and they got on the subject of Scientology. None of them were Scientologists.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a Scientologist. And frankly, I only know what I read about it. But these people were so adamant that it was a dangerous cult and that it had to be avoided at all costs. And I sat there and listened, and I knew none of them knew anything about it. And I listened, and I listened, and then I spoke up. And I said, you people are sitting here opinionating on something. Do any of you really know what it is?
Mm-hmm.
They were like drawing off the energy of the sort of hate.
And did that get you what you wanted? Did that get you the love that you wanted?
It gave me. It certainly it drew some adrenaline.
Right, and that may be what you needed at that moment. I understand. So so Jay, you got to be a cold fart in a cold breeze. You know, you can't be a warm one.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Thank you, Armin. Thank
sure.
you. Bye.
What an image.
They're good images, both of them. Grenade rather than a flag, right?
Yeah.
You want to wave a flag, that's okay. You throw a grenade in the middle.
That's a little more aggressive.
Right, that's what people do. 212-957-2729. There are places where loyalty becomes such a big issue, loyalty and faithfulness. You got to be around the same thing, and you got to protect, and it's a... it becomes very difficult for people to voice an opinion that's different.
Yeah, I mean, loyalty is important, I think, in everyone's life, on one level or another, whether it's within the family, whether it's within the workplace, inside of a group, whether it's a religion, nationality. People value loyalty because it provides sort of like stability and predictability and assurance. That's what people like about it. It feels safe.
Let's take another call here. Hi, Ling. This is Armand Mill.
Hi, Armand.
Hello,
Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Okay, I'm calling because the tables were turned on me once when we were all in the lounge at work, and they were really cutting up one of the women who was apparently married and had was having an affair. So the room was very full, and I said, hey, you bunch of cowards, why don't you say this when she's here? You got some nerve. You treat her real nice when she's in front of you, but now you're cutting her up. How dare you? And a dead silence. They walked out of the room. I was never, ever invited to lunch, to dinner, to anyone's house anymore. And I was, just not talked with or only when it's absolutely necessary. and it lasted forever, actually. And then one day there was a problem, and then a woman approached me, and I said, well, why do you come to me? Why don't you go to the people that, you know, you can discuss this with? And she said, oh, no, we all know we can trust you. You don't know how much people respect you here. And I said, what? Well, you know, because they say if you want anything ever to really be truthful or really happen, you know, really take place in a positive way, you know, you got to speak to Ling. And I said, what? And I said, oh, I don't understand. And she said, no, really, people really respect you. And then very long time afterwards, another colleague approached me because there was a big project, you know, and she wanted me to be part of it. And I said, listen, you know, it's okay. You know, you can meet with me, but it's okay. You know, I'll give you whatever information you want, but I really won't meet with the group, you know. And, you know, she said, no, no, people really respect you. And again, it was there, but it was never apparent in the way they treated me. And, you know, and many, many, many times, even, you know, right next to me, they would say, oh, let's go to lunch, you know, at such and such a place, you know. And they would say right next to me, and they would all turn around and leave. And they would walk by, you know, my room and, you know, would not invite me. And this went on forever.
Well, Ling, let me ask you something about you and your family. Where do you stand in your family group? Are you one of many children?
Three.
Three children. Two girls, other girls?
No, one female and one male.
Okay, where did you stand in the family?
I'm in the middle.
You're in the middle. So what was that like?
Oh, it was very, very difficult.
Yes, that's what I hear.
Mm-hmm,
what was the difficulty of your middle position?
Well, there was a lot of abuse and a lot of problems in the family. And I wasn't the only one who received the showering. But it was painful. I made peace with my parents before they passed.
But you never really had a family.
To the public, it seemed beautiful and perfect and wonderful. But then at home, behind closed doors, it was really very painful.
Now, Ling, currently, do you feel that you're part of any family?
Oh, yeah. I got a great family now.
Tell me about your family now.
Oh, yeah. I'm wonderful. Very, very close to our daughters, grandchildren, my husband. Yeah.
So that took quite a jump for you to go from that one family that you had to another family. But people like you usually have great social difficulty because they don't know how to stand out there and to be themselves. See, you have this kind of integrity about yourself that you like to hold on to. And that integrity sometimes catches you. It catches you because you know, you don't know how to give the room to it. And I think what you did was honorable in saying it the way you said it, you know, and that you did separate the people. You did tell them, you know, if you're going to be gossiping, don't do it around me. And you took away one of their major weapons or the major food that they had at their gossip table. And you said, I am me, you know, and this is who I am. And they kind of showed you the respect for it. But in the future, you'll find also there's another way of doing the very same thing without having to interrupt what they're doing, but to bring about another position of it without the, you know, how dare you, instead of how dare you, say, well, I see that you, but let me tell you this. And you show your respect and your love, and you add it to the formula. See,
Thank you. And that works well. Yeah, thank you, Armand. By the way, I thank you because I went to you a very long time ago, and you helped me through a very difficult time.
I do remember you, Lynn. I do remember you, and I'm glad you got through that.
Thank you, Armand. Thank you. You be well. Enjoy every minute.
This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. So in talking about loyalties, it's a funny thing. I grew up in a family where, you know, I grew up in a family, part Sicilian, where there was loyalties talked about all over the place, and that was one thing. But I kind of stepped outside of that. And I always stepped outside of the group that was the basis of the loyalty was repression. I didn't want to do that. But we do have something to share with you that we think is valuable. We're going to take a short break. When we come back from our break, I'm going to play you this little part. And then we'll continue our discussion and take your phone calls at 212-957-2729.
You know, while your mother's cooking the macaroni today, I figure I'd sit down and talk to you since you're old enough. You know, it's time that you really realize what this family's all about. Because about this time is when you're going to be able to join in and earn some real money and real cash. But before you do that, I want to teach you a little bit about loyalty. The main name of this game is respect and loyalty. Family is a big thing. When we do this kind of business, everything is with respect. And when a family member gets out of line and another family don't like it, one thing leads into another, and the next thing you know, you're gone. And then you're just a memory of me. My heart's broke then. But you gotta remember, there's always family and loyalty. Loyalty is the main thing. Obviously, you know I don't make my money. I don't make all my cash from going to work every day. All these construction jobs we do and sanitation and private stuff is all from earning money through the family. And since you're of age now, I think it's time that I taught you what coming into the family and respect is all about. So the first thing you gotta learn is the name respect. That means you don't cross somebody, you don't go over the line. Once you go over that line, there's no coming back. Whether you're a member of a family or not, that's when people get whacked. And we don't want nobody whacked in our family. So I gotta teach you the proper way of respect. When you're earning money, everybody earns. Everybody eats bread. It's all about cash money. That's what it's all about, making the money. So the first thing of business is this. You remember your name, you don't forget your roots. You never ever disrespect anyone that's above you. Especially your capo, especially the big time guys. Those are the guys you listen to. You never ever disrespect anyone unless you're told to, unless you get the okay. And if there's no sit down, there's nothing.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Rick. Happy birthday to you.
It's Rick's birthday today, and Rick is one of our greatest supporters and has helped us build this studio, right, and is related to some of our studio people here.
Yes, actually, that Rick is my dad. Hi, Dad.
And my cousin.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you, Rick.
Happy birthday in the family.
And a big supporter of WBAI. Have you met Rick yet?
I haven't.
You will. You will soon. We have on the line, we have Dario. Hi there. Hi, you're on the line. Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
Mm-hmm.
I could barely hear you. Are you on a strange phone line, Dario?
No.
Okay, so tell me what you want to say, Dario. Well, maybe you should compose your thought and call back at another time. Well, we'll speak to you another time then. Okay, do call back, yes. 212-957-2729. It's funny, people get stage fright when they get on the phone sometimes. 212-957-2729. Now, the piece we heard was Birdman and Lil Wayne, who are mocking or talking about an idea of what the family life is within the mafia. That's what they were talking about. And but there is this kind of thought of honor that takes place that has got some validity in it, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, like we said before, I think loyalty makes people feel good because it conveys and implies a stability and a continuity, things that people can count on. And we all want to feel safe and, like, not predictable, but everyone wants to feel like they can count on.
Well, you know, one of the worst...
Yeah, a certain degree of certainty.
One of the worst things a person could do as a parent is to say things to their... their child, you know, don't tell daddy, don't tell mommy, that kind of thing, really separates it. You know, that really separates it. Let's give Dario a second try here. Hi there, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that very much.
Sure.
I just really appreciate the opportunity to be here. I think everybody was, it just so happens, and I'm just so thankful that I was able to be on the line here and listen and be available to speak and just be amongst great people like you all.
Oh, Dario, thank you so much. How do you spell your name? Well, I just want to pronounce it right. Is it Dario?
It's fine. I'm just happy that I was kind of listening and I was excited, and then as I was coming along, I was getting upset, and it was just a lot of mixed emotions. But the loyalty factor that you were discussing, and is a great importance. And not telling mommy, not telling daddy, those things are so delicate. Also,
right, that happened to you when you were a child, right? Were you split in between two parents?
No, not at all. In some ways, but not in all its technicalities. It's hard to describe, but what's so important at this time, and this what's so much more valuable to me, is just be able to create an idea or a mindset or a frame, a picture rather than to retell a story.
Yes, I hear. That's quite beautiful. And you have that picture in your mind, right? You have that picture?
I have that picture. Basically, it's beating in my heart. It beats every day. I try to visualize it daily, but not necessarily can it come together all the time positively, because it's a constant struggle. It's a constant battle. And I think at the beginning of all this, it was done beautifully. And, you know, not everybody can describe this matter in a way that they want to all the time. So
Dario, do you have people around you? Do you have people who you're close to?
Not as how I would like them to be, no.
No, you'd like people to be a little closer.
Of course.
But it's very hard to trust people, isn't it?
No, I don't think it is.
So what do you think separates you from people?
Pardon?
What do you think separates you from people?
I think people do the separating.
People do the separating from you. So then if they do, that makes it hard to trust them. That's what I'm saying. You know, they'll leave you. You're afraid that they'll leave you.
More so than unforgiving, than an unforgiving mind and heart.
Yeah, it's very difficult. I can see you've been through a very difficult, damaged life, you know. But yours is the kind of story where we would like to talk a little further about it, more than on the radio station. Maybe you should send me an email, describe what you're talking about. And
sure.
I'll feed back to you, okay? It's armand@thepositivemind.com.
Okay, I
could hear, and so very nice to have you on the radio with us, and I'm glad you joined these interesting minds with your interesting mind. Thank you for calling in. 212-957-2729. If you listen closely, my friends, if you listen real closely, you could hear the picture. 212-957-2729. So, Ben, Julian, do you speak badly about yourself? This is a very important question. How many of you, if you were to write down, you know, your traits, would you say you're talking well about yourself or you're talking badly about yourself? people who talk badly about themselves are in general depressed. See, and they're criticizing this thing. Imagine that there's a child inside you, and this child is just sitting there and waiting for you to love it in some way, and instead you criticize it, you criticize it, you criticize. How do you think that child feels? It wants to be in hiding all the time. So that's why it kind of keeps depressed. It keeps away from you. And that's why you want to try to be a little more kind to yourself and say good things about yourself. Now, I'd like to hear somebody call who could say some good things about themselves. I'd like to hear you say three positive things about you. 212-957-2729. Let's take Scott. Scott, you're on the line.
Oh, hi, Armand. How are you?
Good. Did you get my questions?
I did, but I forgot them a little bit already. I kind of wanted to talk a little to the contrary about the gossip and things like that. Is that okay?
Sure.
Yeah. So the reason I was thinking is, there must be some value to the negativity that goes on to those kind of things, and what kind of value is coming around from that. And I'm not quite sure where it leads, but, you know, sometimes you get tired of...
Are you a part of it? Are you part of the negativity?
No, I don't think so. I enjoy contrary thinking funny dilemmas and like to analyze things a bit, but I'm
Scott, tell me three good things about you.
Oh, I'm open-minded.
Okay, stop.
I'm happy.
Stop with that for a minute. Hold it. Let's do one at a time. I'm open-minded. Okay, you like that about yourself, don't you, Scott?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the second thing?
I think I have a good relationship with my family.
Good relationship with your family. Good, honest relationship. Clear relationship with your family.
Well, yeah, within limits, right?
I don't know. It's your within limits.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, people have difficulties. We have to help them negotiate it. Being so candid and honest, it's not a straightforward thing all the time. If someone has problems and it's hard to navigate solutions or deal with the difficulties.
It sounds like you have a good relationship with your family. That's good. And what's the third thing about you, Scott?
I don't know. I love life. I feel lucky.
Mm-hmm. You know that part that you just said, I love life, I feel lucky?
Yeah.
You know, that's a big deal, isn't it?
Yes, because the lucky aspect of it is not so... easy to share, or I wish other people were lucky, and what if I wasn't lucky?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I understand. I understand. I once met a man who was responsible for starting most of the game shows on television. Came to see me, and he allows me to tell the story. He was depressed, but he started all these famous game shows on TV. So I said to him after a while, I said, you know, you have all this depression, but you have all these game shows. How did you ever get so many popular game shows successfully? And he said, because I'm lucky. And I said to him, you mean you carry luck with you? He says, yes, I carry luck with me everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And that's an interesting thing, to be depressed and lucky at the same time. Now, you're not depressed and you're lucky also, right?
Sure, and in theory, right? I mean... we all have emotional states, and I'm generally in a good mood.
Yeah, and what's the worst mood you ever get into?
Oh, when something just seems very illogical, and you don't understand the barrier, and there doesn't seem to be any understanding or way around the problem or things like that.
Because you can't find a logical answer to what seems to be an emotional difficulty, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's so difficult because it all makes sense. It's supposed to make sense because Scott likes to make sense out of things. He can line up the ducks.
No better than that.
Right?
But, you still try to put things in order, right?
And deeply emotional. And what are you doing being hysterical? I'm telling you the truth. There is all the evidence. Here's the right?
Well, maybe I'm listening to you too much. I don't try to like beat anyone over the head with logic or history or patterns or things like that. You like to try to respond appropriately to things, right?
So, well, I did say before, I think you do have a good relationship with your family because I see that you could step back at times and be able to observe and know that you don't have to enter into every fray. You know, you don't have to be in every battle. That you can sometimes let it take
itself.
That's
impossible, but you know, you just try to pick your places. And you know, teachers have that expression, I think it's teaching moment or learning moment, things like that. And those are the things that, you know, if you have kind of insight, you could kind of work. And, of course, these things are so dynamic, you know, that's just kind of a theory in a way.
Okay, so my last question to you, Scott, is how long has it been since you've had a very close male friend?
Well, I've got a good friend, but he lives far away.
I meant a very close male friend.
Yeah, not much.
You ache for it, don't you?
Yeah, you're right. You had some shows recently about this, and I recognize that as a gap. Yeah.
I hear you're a man of integrity, but I hear you're a man who's alone. You know, alone, kind of, you know, separate from other men. And I think there's something important about that. I think there's something vital about that because, you know, you're part of the tribe, but you're like the only one who's ahead of the tribe. And I think you have to be related to other men. I think you need that from the sound of it.
Yeah. How to get there is a question, right?
Well, I have access to it. So why don't you send me an email?
I will.
Send me an email and let's talk about that a little bit because you sound like somebody who misses his brothers.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I know, I could tell. Okay, well, thank you very much for calling in.
Thanks, Armand.
Sure.
I love that notion of just recognizing why you're lucky, what we're lucky for. And when I start to get down, that's sort of how I've pulled myself out of it in the past, is just being thankful for the ways in which I'm lucky or I've been lucky.
Well, you know, part of depression is you forget about what's lucky. Part of depression is you're not allowed to see that.
Right.
It's when you're pulling yourself up that you see it. 212-957-2729. We've still got time for another call. So this idea of this respect that we want to put out there to as many people as we possibly could find, that's kind of what we're looking for at the moment. You know, we want to kind of, during the day today, to spread it along, do it through email, do it through a letter, do it through kindness. You know, a kindness of some kind, of some sort today, because every bit of it counts. It at least counts to make the world a little clearer, you know. It may not feed back to you immediately, but somehow it'll be fine to you. If you're kind to every animal, to every flower, to everybody around you, if you stop yourself from picking a flower just because you found it attractive and you wanted to pick it, then you stop yourself and you let it be there. Let's take one more call from Long Island. Here's Jason. Hi, Jason. You're on the line.
Hey, Armand.
Hey, Jason.
I just wanted to honor you because in the midst of my adversity, you know, going through financial chaos with loan debt and going to default, I'm still able to go and listen to your radio, which is a lecture to me that I would get into college, but even better, and then also further research the techniques on my own. So I want to say thank you for that and to answer the question that was aforementioned.
Sure. Let me hear your answer.
Sure. The three characteristics is that I'm loving, perceptive, and giving.
And now who is the closest male friend you have?
My closest male friend, I would have to actually say my pastor, actually, Terrence Chapman.
That's your pastor, right? Is there anybody who you consider to be a buddy?
Yes.
Tell me about that person.
My friend Junior, like, we knew each other since childhood, and we both have the same nationality. We're both Haitian descent.
Mm-hmm.
And we had very similar challenges. I remember he was either the second or third encounter where we actually got into a physical fight, but we understood one another because we both had temper problems, and we worked it out at the end and didn't put a rift in our initial acquaintanceship that built it, which later transformed into a strong, loving, brotherly bond, even though we're not related by blood.
Jason, however, when's the last time you were in contact with him?
Oh, that was like last week.
Last week, okay. Now, the next time you speak to him, tell me three things about him that are wonderful.
Three things. Sure. He's also a giver, such as myself. He's also perceptive, and what makes him different is that he's not afraid to pull punches. He doesn't hold back. He'll just say it as is, regardless of being politically correct or not.
He doesn't pull punches.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't. He just kind of comes out and says whatever he thinks. And exactly. You really appreciate that about him.
Oh, of course. I'd rather deal with individuals like that instead of someone who's like really covert about things. Just I like someone who's a straight shooter, period.
And what's his name?
His name is Josie Manelis.
Josie, wherever you are. There are a couple of million people now hearing good words about you. Somehow, your friend Jason is talking well about you. Now, can we imagine, wherever Josie is, that he may not be listening to this program, but that little fingers of mellowness are kind of coming down to his shoulders like the angels are flittering down, and he feels better for some reason that he doesn't understand?
Yes, it's actually right there in the atmosphere. I'm sure he's receiving it in the spirit.
All right. And we'll send that over to you as well for being such a kind friend and such a good man.
All righty.
Thank you for calling in.
All right, peace.
212-957-2729. So we're the basis of this, what we've been putting on, the guy's name was, you might want to hear the lecture, Joel Osteen, O-S-T-E-E-N. He looks remarkably like Gary Null's brother. He really does. He really does. It's kind of amazing, a young Gary Null's brother. And he delivers himself very, very well. I do not believe in the religious part of it. You know, the way that part of it works. I'm not a part of the ministry, and I'm not in agreement with his humor or his politics. But what he had to say about this, to me, were kind of meaningful. And meaningful. I hope we could push it along here.
It's on YouTube. Yeah, just look up Joel Osteen Honor 2014.
Joel Osteen Honor. Mm-hmm. Thank you both. So thank you. This has been an interesting exploration, right? So people are going to try to turn this around in their own lives, and then I'd like you to report to us, if you would, about what your efforts have been to speak well about something. You know, and kind of see if you could make a change in some kind of a way in the world around you. Let me just take this one call from Marie Antoinette. How could I not?
Hello,
Marie Antoinette.
How are you? Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
And what I want to say, I'm stage fright.
You have stage fright right now.
Yes. But what I want to say about gossiping, about talking, that my policy is never to tell anybody else if someone tell me something personal about themselves. And it's just between me and that person. But people very often tell about you, and also they change. They change the accordingly to them. They change completely the meaning of the conversation or of something that you do. You understand?
Yes, I do understand, and it changes as.
And that is very sometimes it's very difficult to accept back. People tell you, and things don't exist. Actually, it's a fantasy or perception that person has.
Yes. And stories will always change. There's a thing called the telephone game, Marie Antoinette, which is very interesting, which is one person plays tells a story, and they tell it to someone else, and then that person tells it to someone else, and it changes all along the way. In fact, the Bible was often thought of, the Bible has changed significantly because the people who used to translate the Bible did it by hand. And they would write, and each one would write it just a little differently and a little differently. So that's the nature of it. But if you put the energy in it, when you're speaking of something, to be sure that you're including the positive,
yes.
You find that the story does not change that often. It's when you throw in a little negative thing, that's the part that people exaggerate.
Not necessarily.
No, in your world.
It might be, because sometimes you tell something personal to the person.
Sure.
You know, but but not necessarily. Things change sometimes. I'm not saying all the time.
Yeah, well, it's nice to be here, isn't it?
Yes.
How do you like being on the air? How do you like speaking on the
air? My bird is saying hello to you. He's right now playing in his little box.
Well, let me play something for your little bird. I'll say, what's his name?
Griffin. Remember he talked with you last time?
Oh, yes, I do remember Griffin. Well, here's a little music for Griffin. Thank you for calling very much, Marie Antoinette.
Thank you. I love you.
Okay. So this is for Griffin. It's armand@thepositivemind.com if you want to send me an email. Or you could Twitter me nowadays at Armand Dimele, D-I-M-E-L-E, right? We'll be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m., my friends. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Julian.